This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. It used to be that tobacco was a fixture of life in America, but that changed in the late 90s when states sued tobacco companies for health care costs. States won an annual payment pegged to cigarette sales to last as long as cigarettes are sold in this country. The money was supposed to treat smoking-related illnesses and to get people to quit. But today, that river of money flows not into health care, but into the bond market, where, according to documents acquired by investigative reporting organization ProPublica, there's been a kind of financial crisis. Stan Alcorn with ProPublica's Cesar Podkol brings us a story of cigarettes, securitization, and rating agency manipulation.
That hiss is the sound of oxygen flowing up the nose and into the lungs of Bernadette Vodders.
It's not bad, you know. I practice rhythmic breathing, so...
Vodders has lung disease, and she says she wouldn't be breathing at all if it weren't for a program here at the Metro Health Hospital in Cleveland that helped her finally quit smoking.
Or if I'm power walking, which helped me to lose the weight over the summer.
Originally, this program was funded by the annual payments pegged to cigarette sales from tobacco companies to the state of Ohio.
That funding was great funding.
Dr. Sherry Williams is MetroHealth's medical director for all things lung-related.
Because it not only paid for the program, but it enabled us to have more classes.
These kind of programs helped make Ohio a national leader in reducing smoking rates. But then in 2007, Ohio's then governor decided to take those annual payments away from these health programs and securitize them. The way that works is a bit like an ad you may have seen.
I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
Ohio wanted that cash now, not for tobacco control, but for schools and tax cuts. But instead of calling J.G. Wentworth, Ohio called J.P. Morgan and Citigroup, UBS, Bear Stearns, these banks that had been pitching states saying they could get them upfront cash in exchange for years or even decades of that annual cigarette money by turning it into a new kind of bond. This is where the rating agencies come in. Bill Harrington is a former analyst at Moody's.
All bonds that access a public market need to be evaluated by the rating agencies. So it's sort of like you have the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, but to get to them, if you're going to use ship, you have to go through the Panama Canal.
The rating agencies, Moody's, Fitch, Standard & Poor's, they were the canal keepers. They analyzed bond proposals for their creditworthiness and, for those they let through, assigned a letter grade rating, telling investors how likely they were to be repaid. Dick Larkin is the head bond analyst at H.J. Sims.
The average investor doesn't understand these things, and they rely on something simple, and that's what a rating is supposed to do.
But to be reliable, the ratings need to be independent and objective. ProPublica's Cesar Podkol reviewed 140 documents underwriters sent the states.
And the more and more I collected, the more I noticed these statements.
Statements about swaying those rating agencies' criteria.
Quote, UBS analyzed, re-engineered, and fundamentally changed the underpinning criteria for mainstream ratings.
Bear Stearns bragged about, quote, facilitating the highest ever rating for some of Ohio's riskiest tobacco bonds. J.P. Morgan told Ohio they'd negotiate Fitch, quote, to their knees.
Most of the underwriters involved in this sector made these claims and made them repeatedly on multiple deals in multiple states across multiple years, saying we will get the rating agencies to ease their criteria.
It's a process that is really morally bankrupt.
Mayra Rodriguez Valladares is a financial regulatory consultant who reviewed the documents. She says it's shocking not that the banks would have this kind of influence, they do basically decide which rating agencies get paid, but that they would flaunt it so openly.
The banks aren't even concerned that this is a problem and are proud to actually incorporate this and make it a marketing brochure.
A lot strikes me about these documents. None of it surprises me.
Former Moody's analyst Bill Harrington says it's basically a repetition of what happened in his corner of the ratings world, the collateralized debt obligations, or CDOs, that blew up in the financial crisis. Banks pushed the agencies to pump up ratings in order to get more money up front.
What we saw in the financial crisis, though, is extracting money up front from the deals means that the deals are not robust when there's a problem.
And like for CDOs, there was a problem with tobacco bonds, those cigarette sales. They dropped much faster and further than the ratings allowed for. Moody's, for the bonds it rated, now expects up to 80% of the money owed won't be paid out on time. The risky Ohio debt that got the highest ever rating has been downgraded 5 times.
Some of those bonds may never get paid at all.
Bond analyst Dick Larkin says if that happens, the settlement payments won't return to the state, something Ohio debt manager Kurt Kaufman confirms.
They would not revert back to the state, right? They would continue to be pledged to the bondholders.
Which would mean no cash coming back to any of the anti-smoking programs defunded to create the bonds in the first place. Dr. Sherry Williams at Metro Health in Cleveland says that since that funding cut, smoking rates have crept back up across the state. And with them, the medical costs that brought on the lawsuit in the first place.
Smoking is the leading cause of preventable death and disease in this country. And we backpedaled, and we're going to end up having to pay for it.
As for the rating agencies, each of them denied negotiating ratings criteria with the banks, but none of them would agree to an interview for this story. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.